On campus.
And online.
Online.
This
is
URN.
Hello and welcome back to Over the Trent. We have been very busy of late. Me and Kieran have had a lot of essays to do, so we did apologise, Forest fans and Notts County fans. Now, today is going to be a Nottingham Forest special. We hopefully will be talking to some real Notts County fans next week, but let's focus on all things red this week. And speaking of all things red, Kieran, what did you buy at the City Ground last Tuesday? What was it?
Yeah, during their Black Friday sale, I got myself a nice Forest shirt with Alex Mighton on the back. So very happy with that purchase.
Yes, it does look good on you, Kieran, as all Forest shirts look good on everyone. How have you been? How have you found watching Forest these past few weeks? Because it's fair to say when we started this podcast, we were a bit nervous about our £140 purchase, weren't we?
Yeah, I think the first few months, well, first month or two, were especially under Houghton, a bit rough, to say the least, but it's definitely got better. Yeah. Cooper is doing a very good job. And I mean, we're six games unbeaten at the moment. So that kind of tells you, that shows a huge contrast to what we were getting under Houghton.
Well, one defeat under Chris. Well, sorry, I was going to say one defeat under Chris Houghton. That certainly was not.
Oh, no.
It was one defeat each week under Houghton. One defeat for Steve Cooper, a 4-0. Not a thumping, because it wasn't a thumping against Fulham. We just weren't the better side. Things didn't fall our side. And, you know, one red card.
And they had Mitrovic.
Yeah, they had a good Mitrovic. And 4-0. There wasn't a lot of anger, I noticed, in the City Ground. Everyone just sort of walked out and went, that's going to happen. That's fine. And I don't think 4-0 under any other team would have got such a, oh, yeah, it's fine, it's fine. Because
before, it felt like a 2-0.
Yeah, it felt like a 2-0 to in an FA Cup tie. We were playing someone much above our station. It was a very much relaxed atmosphere. But before that, the week before, Forest had beaten Blackpool 2-1. Really a game. Forest pegged back to 1-1 and then really drove on, with the only team that really could have won that game. Bristol City 1-2 to Forest. Lyle Taylor doing something we've been dying for him to do for so long, and scored two late goals, a penalty, and a sort of goal mouth scramble to make it 2-1, which looked like the best Forest away day. Then the 4-0 against Fulham, sort of crashing to a halt, a really good series of wins from 29th of September to the 24th. So a really good month for Forest there. And then 1-1 with QPR. Now, Kieran, you were out at Ocean, I believe, for this game, as it was a Friday night game.
Yes, I would have been. I remember coming back and I saw Colback had scored quite a nice goal in the 91st minute. The ginger coming up strong for the Forest. I've just rewatched the highlights just a minute ago, and it was a game where Forest looked very in control for a lot of it. QPR weren't at their best, I think it's fair to say. And it could have been a Forest win, to be honest. But Colback definitely had a good game that game, though. And he's kind of carried on that form up until the most recent game.
Yes, we will move on to a red-headed affair, shall we say. it was, I think, 1-0 was a really good reflection of the grit Forest had. I think if we go back to Houghton, 1-0 going into the 90th minute, heads are dropping. We're not, you know, pushing for that equaliser. And yes, we should have had two penalties, arguably one Stonewall and one that could have gone either way. So we could have won that game. And it's sort of a growing theme for Cooper is unfortunate refereeing decisions. Now, obviously,
yes,
Forest hit the post or gone in, and quite a lot under Cooper. It's been a bit jammy, that's fair to say, with some of our goals, but we've also had the reverse side of that. So I think whilst Championship refereeing's never been good, it's always going to be the circle of life. Like the Manchester United and Chelsea game yesterday, it definitely wasn't, I didn't think it was a penalty for Chelsea, but then Jorginho was very unlucky in how the ball fell for him for Sancho's goal. It's just one of those things where football just is a circle of luck and hope and all this sort of thing. We then moved on to 1-1 against Sheffield United. What did you think of that game? Very cold day and Sheffield United. What did you think?
I mean, there was a group of us that wasn't there for that game. That was the one with Taban, Luke and April.
Yeah,
they came along with us. Sheffield, such a strange team to talk about. Realistically, their squad is a lot better than what their performances are showing. They're realistic. They should realistically be pushing for those for a promotion spot, but it's just kind of falling apart from them. Obviously, they've just got a new manager in, haven't they? His name escapes me, but
I'll look it up.
this game. Obviously, we responded very quickly. We got the goal back from being 1-0 down within 5 minutes. A nice Lewis grab-and goal. After Morgan Gibbs White goal in the 78th minute, and it showed good fight. We looked like the better team, even though we only had one shot on target throughout the entire game, which happened to be the goal. But I genuinely think that we were the better team. They kept hold of the ball better than us, but it was one of those games again where we made a lot of chances but just didn't have that clinical finish.
Yes, and I think we can actually build on this to a bigger point about Forest. Graben and Taylor as strikers, I think coming January, if we want to really have a go at pushing for the playoffs, I'm not saying we're a Premier League team, not quite yet. We need someone for Johnson, Lolly, Zinchenogle, dare I say, even Carvalho when he plays. I'm sure he will get a game over this hectic Christmas period. We need someone who can consistently score. Now, Graben is being praised on all the Forest podcasts, and I love Graben. I think he's a great player, but personally, I think he's been a little bit wasteful.
He's been a bit like Neil Malpay has been for us. He's looked good. He's got into the positions. He looks like he should be scoring the goals, but then he skies it over the crossbar. The exact same situation for both clubs that I follow, and it's really depressing.
I remember against Fulham, he should have scored. Reading, he really should have scored one or two. West Brom, I don't think he had. There was a sort of ball that came into the box and he was diving. They're really hard to score. Against Leeds, I can't remember him getting into any good positions. But even against Preston, where we won 3-0, there's one or two chances where it was like, this could have been more for Graben.
In the game against Luton, he didn't even play. Lyle Taylor who started, which kind of explains that.
Yeah, which moves on to Taylor, and I have a bit of a problem with Taylor. Now, obviously, I love him for what he did against Bristol City, and he's done, I think, twice against Derby. Oh, no, Garner scored, once against Derby. He is doing a lot of performative effort. Now, I thought he's a type of house that people go to relieve themselves in as a striker to other defenders. It's quite funny seeing the clips. He's, you know, doing a lot of good work for charity. He's annoying defenders and he's making himself very popular on social media. However, his actual, when balls have targeted him, I don't think he makes the most of his opportunities. He goes down a bit too easily. He doesn't get into the same positions. There was quite a few balls in against Luton where Johnson would make a lovely run and then whack the ball in, or Lolly would whack the ball in and Taylor would be 2-3 yards behind where the ball was, or 2 yards and 3 yards in front. And it doesn't seem like he's got that communication. Lyle Taylor was meant to be this crown jewel in Forest sort of playoff push under Houghton last, or even under Sabre, really, last season. And he just hasn't performed. Is the stage too big for him, Kieran, do you think? And as a neutral, or not really a neutral anymore, it's fair to say, you bought the shirt. Beginning to bleed red as well as blue and white. What is your views on Lyle Taylor? Because as a Forest fan, I'm losing a bit of hope with him.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see why you're losing hope with him. I think a loan move could probably be good for him. Just maybe build a bit of confidence up, get him in form, maybe at like a League One club.
His old club.
Yeah, Charlton would be good. I think that's probably the best move for him. Whether he gets it or not, that's another thing.
Because it's whether Charlton.
No, it's whether Charlton actually wants him. And I think the loan situation would probably be best for him. But as you said, don't see it happening. I think this stage is a bit too high of a level for him at the moment. I think realistically, if he gets into form at any point, which doesn't look like it's going to happen, he could be a good striker at this level. Mm. He could never be like your star striker as such, this striker that's bagging you like 20 goals a season. But he would be able to pick up a goal here and there that win you games. But it just doesn't look like that's going to happen, unfortunately, which is a real shame, actually, because as you said, he's had a few good moments. Obviously, he got those two late goals that won you the game against Bristol. And then the derby moment as well.
He's worked himself into the Forest popularity. You know, doing what he's done for cancer research is fantastic, and congratulations to him. But on the pitch, he's leaving a little bit to be desired, it's fair to say. One performance that did not leave anyone wanting anything more was Forest Preston 3-0. Now, you were not there for this, and I wasn't there for the first 10 minutes due to certain issues with Nottingham Forest ticketing system, but where my season card didn't work despite working. All very complex, but everyone was so lovely at the club. So big shout out to the ticket team. They've been fantastic to me. 3-0, wonderful performance. There was never really any sign of threat. Forest at the back were really good. It was the day actually we took Figueiredo out and played four at the back. Now, that made, weirdly, things less congested and more clear. Having taken someone out, Worrell and McKenna knew their roles, I believe, a bit better. Their distribution was better. Now, Preston were woeful. Let's not kid ourselves here. Preston were woeful. But that extra bit of space is sort of what I think Cooper wants. He wants four at the back, two defensive midfielders, and three or four attacking options. But one thing I am loving about Cooper is he's able to change, because we'll talk about the Preston game where we won 3-0 pretty easily. The A block and Y block singing to each other. Fantastic stuff. Trent End gives a song. There was sort of a real carnival atmosphere at the game. Everyone was just enjoying the fact Forest are back. And I believe that was chanted, "Oh, Forest are back, Forest are back." And it was really, I don't know, it just felt really satisfying after the rubbish we've had on and off the pitch to see Forest fans really happy with each other again. And then when we play West Brom, when we're very low on options, we need a left back. We need a left back, a right back, and another centre back.
We'll come on to the left back situation in a minute.
Oh, God. We'll get on to that, because that was against Reading. Cooper's changing everything. And we're playing up to teams. And another thing Cooper's doing really well is after a 3-0 win, you'd expect him to go, "Yeah, the boys were fantastic. On we go to the next game." He didn't. He actually criticised Forest for being a bit lazy. And I don't think we would have got that under a less talented manager. He knows that Forest haven't been the best, and we're on a 5-game unbeaten streak, which is fantastic in the Championship. And I believe it should go to 6th against Peterborough. In all those games, he said, "Forest needs to improve. Forest needs to improve." And he's right. And I don't remember this level of honesty from a manager in so long. And it is delightful. And I don't want to be negative, but if there's negatives to be there, I'm glad Cooper's saying it. And I'd like to hear what you think about this as a theory in general. Sometimes the most honest managers don't work, but you need a pinch of salt in modern football, because despite winning 3-0, we're still, you know, he's saying, "Well, we got a bit lazy." I think that's what Forest need at the moment. Do you agree?
As long as the players take it in good heart.
Yeah.
And they don't let it, they don't interpret it as the fact that he said that they didn't play well, more the fact that they still have room to improve. I think it works, and by the looks of it, the Forest team has taken it that way. Yeah. And that's only going to improve them. It's the mentality that they're going to inherit from that kind of mindset. They're going to always be looking to better themselves in the next game. And once you build that mentality into a team, it generally breeds better competition within the players, which will only make the team stronger. And it's only going to do well for Forest, to be honest. That Preston game was really impressive, though. Like, I mean, Graban obviously picked up a brace, and then Colback got his second goal in two games.
What a goal. What a goal.
And yeah, another good goal. It looked really promising. And I mean, Forest only had 39% of possession, so they were comfortable not having the ball, letting Preston play in front of them. And I mean, Preston only got two shots on target that game, so it shows that 4-2-3-1 kind of system allowed for us to sit back and hit on the break a lot more. Mm. And I think with this squad, with the strikers perhaps not being as clinical as you would have hoped that they would be, that system might be the best one to go to, just because it allows the wingers to get it, the really pacey wingers, obviously like Brennan Johnson, getting up the pitch and getting shots away as well, where he might not usually be able to do that if you're keeping the ball and he's out wide all the time.
Let's move on to Reading, 1-1. A bit of a disappointing one here. I don't think Forest would have wanted 1-1. I know Reading they came off the back of a 9-point deduction. The crowd at Reading, I'm going to say that with
the
lightest sense of the word crowd.
The Medeski was very empty.
Yeah, Bar Forest, who have travelled in such good numbers recently.
Yeah, especially like the Medeski's quite a trek from here as well.
This is where Forest get into a little bit of trouble. Left back Max Lowe goes down injured, comes off very quickly, and it's been confirmed he is out for 2 months. Now, left backs at Nottingham Forest.
Yes.
We managed to get rid of Yuri Ribeiro. I never know how to pronounce it, but he was an absolute delight to watch. One of my favourite moments of his was where he flip-flapped in against Derby and created a great chance at the City Ground. Unfortunately, it didn't come to anything, but it was just that level of confidence from a left back that we hadn't seen in ages. We've lost Eric Lehigh, someone who's a really good club man, scored those two wonderful goals against Arsenal, who will ever be in Forest fans' heart. And now we are using a lone left back who's now injured for 2 months. And we're left with Jack Colback sent off for quite a brainless lost his head, started grabbing players. It wasn't clever. And Gaetang Bong. Kieran, could you give the listeners who weren't able to be there, listen to commentary, a sort of representation of the groan that went around the City Ground when Gaetang Bong warmed up for Jack Cole? I think Lolly came off for him, wasn't it? But
there was kind of two groans. There was the groan when obviously Colback got a yellow for arguing with the ref, which was pointless. And literally he had nothing to gain out of it. He was just shouting at the ref, got yellowed for dissent. Correct refereeing decision.
Yeah.
Jack Colback was an idiot. Then you have the incident in the penalty area, which gave away a penalty and got him second yellowed. That was the first groan. I didn't really see it, but watching the highlights back, it was the correct decision.
Yeah.
He was grabbing a player and brought him down. Yeah, fair enough. It's a penalty. It's a yellow card. So there's the red card. Then we had a bit of time where we didn't have a left back, which was interesting.
Yeah.
I have to admit, no one seemed to know where they were going. I think McKenna went out there for a little bit just to cover, but wasn't working. And then Gaetang Bong came on. Now, Gaetang Bong, I have a lot of experience with this guy. I thought I had escaped him. And unfortunately, he is back to haunt me. But he wasn't a disaster. That is one thing I'm going to say.
Yes.
He came on. He had an okay game for Gaetang Bong levels. And he just looked a bit lost at times, which isn't awful, but it's not what you really want from a left back.
No.
And then he kind of got pushed up to a left wing back, which was he looked very out of position there, which I don't quite know why he looked so out of position. It's just a left, as someone who's played that position, it's the same job except you should get further up the pitch when you're attacking. The left back situation is pretty dire. Gaetang Bong is not a good enough left back option. Right. Although I feel like we're going to be seeing him a bit more now that Colback still suspended. Wait, will Colback still be suspended? What's the rules in the EFL? Is it?
I am not aware of. I think it might be one game. It might be one game.
Okay. So Colback will be back.
Yeah.
However, if he ever needs to come off, Bong is the go to now. not ideal, but at least I would say that his hair's impressive, but it's not. What even is that?
Love the positivity. Look at the hair. Lovely stuff. Right. Then, obviously, Colback gives the penalty away. And then Samba saves it. Somehow he sort of flicks it over the bar with his feet.
Oh yeah, Samba, this game.
Samba has been fantastic. And I've seen on many Forest fan accounts, he has been Forest Player of the Month for November. Forest only kept one clean sheet in 13 games at the start of the season. In the last four, we have kept three clean sheets. Forest under...
Yeah, no. And that largely comes down to Samba as well. Like, he's been in phenomenal form. He's saving everything that comes his way. There was another save as well. It wasn't only the penalty. They had another shot. Yeah, from the corner. And he somehow got down so fast to stop this ball from going into the bottom right corner, I think it was. Mm. And I literally thought it was a goal. I was there like, fair enough. We've conceded from a corner with 10 men. Shame, but we move on. And then Samba somehow pulls out that save. And I was like, how has he done that?
Horvath has been a very questionable buy since the summer. And it's just proving even more so. When Samba is at the wheel, you know, Forrest are driving well. His distribution has been fantastic. He's almost cricket bowling balls over the halfway line to Brennan Johnson, to Joe Lolly. It's really impressive, his distribution, and his saves are fantastic. We'll get on to who we think is Player of the Month for November a bit later, but we need to talk about West Brom. I think going into West Brom, Forest fans were worried, to say the least.
Yeah.
playing in our beautiful highlighter kits, steward kits, whatever you want to call them, please send us suggestions on what we should call those third kits. It somehow got away with a 0-0 draw, and arguably Forest should have won that game. Kieran, did you get to watch it?
I watched the highlights of it.
Because of course, Ocean.
Ocean, yeah.
Is it another reason why football on a Friday should not happen? Forest Ocean, and it's just not a Saturday. Carry on.
Yeah, I watched the highlights of it. As you said, Forest should have won it. Obviously, they went down to 10 men. Brighton player got sent off. Jason Malumbi on loan from us.
Is he?
I agree. Yeah, he's on loan from Brighton. He's actually a really promising player, but yeah, definitely a red card. Was very dirty, cynical, and deserving of a red. But was a really impressive performance, actually. I think 0-0, you can't complain with it against a team you expect to be going up.
And really bad weather. Let's not forget that.
Yeah,
I think
some
Forest fans thought we should have won just because we had Lolly and Johnson were fantastic. And Lolly's getting better, which is really important because when Lolly and Samba and previously Matty Cash were all working well, Forest were fantastic. Now, we haven't got Cash anymore, much like Derby. That deserved more, Kieran. I need a bit more of a laugh. We've got Spence working really well down the wing. He's been fantastic. Worrell is putting... I think we were a bit... when watching Forest, we were always like, what's Worrell doing there with the distribution? Now we're like, that's really good distribution from Worrell. He's not just whacking and hoping. He's putting some good balls out to the wing. And yes, he's not quite Premier League standard yet. He's getting better defensively. And especially going forward. So Worrell, big plus there, McKenna as well. But Jed Spence, Lolly, Samba, when those three are working, or even Johnson, because they like to swap, that's when Forest are at their best. And I think, I'm not saying Forest are at their best against West Brom. Cooper's described us as distinctly average, which I thought was a bit harsh considering the weather Friday night after playing a Tuesday night and, you know, playing the top team. I thought it was a bit harsh to just call us average, but that's what Cooper wants. And let's talk about Player of the Month. Now, obviously, one of us has to go Samba. So do you want to go Samba or do you want me to go Samba?
I'm going to go Samba. I'll let you come up with the other name. Have that fun task because, honestly, I don't know who else I would go for. I don't know. Honestly, if I was looking at the squad now, Joe Lolly's been good at times, but has he been Player of the Month? Probably not. James Garner's picked up the most man in the matches in the time.
Yeah, it's worth talking about Garner, actually, because Man United, obviously, going through a transition. Former Ajax, I believe, is he? Man, he likes youth. We could be in trouble of losing Jed Spence to Middlesbrough and Garner. Garner, who's really getting into his own. I've been quite critical of Garner, especially in October. I thought he wasn't one thing I'm fed up of is corners. We need to get someone else on corners. But he's getting really good. And obviously, this is what the loan system's for. It's for developing players. So when someone quite small and quite slight, like Garner, is now becoming quite a physical presence on the pitch, obviously not to the same extent Ryan Yates is or Jack Colback is. But I think Garner is really improving, and hopefully we can keep him over January. That said, we do need a left back. We do need a right back desperately in January. So hopefully Cooper knows what he's doing there. Also, I'd love a striker. I believe is
and
it
centre mid.
Well, I don't think we need a centre mid. What we've got?
If Garner goes, you've got Cafu, Yates, and Colback. Really,
and Cafu, Yates, and Colback. And who played against Luton, who was really impressive, who's named Ojeda. I was so impressed with him. Why he hasn't been playing more is a big question. But I don't think if Garner goes, it is the killer blow that Spence going. When Forrest has been good, it's been when we're playing with fullbacks. And we need Lowe and we need Spence or someone to that ilk. I'm going to say my man of the month is probably... I want to go Colback because his two goals, saving a point at QPR, then against Preston, but then he got sent off. So I don't think you can give it Colback. I am going to go Brennan Johnson. I think that's fair enough. He's been really exciting to watch and someone who we need to appreciate watching because he is so technically gifted. At this level, it's been a delight watching him. So Brennan Johnson will be my man of the month. Now, coming up, we will have December coverage for you. I won't be able to go to a lot of the games due to being on holiday, but we will be there for Peterborough. It's obviously a massive month for the Reds. Peterborough and then Swansea away, Hull City at home, Middlesbrough on Boxing Day away. All that is going to be a cold one. Huddersfield at home and then Barnsley at home as well on the 3rd of January, leading us up to the FA Cup. Kieran, one word, who would you like in the FA Cup? Would you like to go or would you like to stay at home and who would you have? Don't say Brighton.
The FA Cup. I would love to have Brighton away just so I can go back home, take you to the Amex.
It would be nice.
Yeah, that would be a really nice game, actually. But if I wasn't looking at Brighton, I would want to go a step up. I would want to go to a Premier League ground. Maybe, I don't know, like a Turf Moor, maybe a Burnley, a team that we could possibly go to get something out of it still. Mm. But it would be a tough game, but just another Premier League ground.
I'd say Everton are for the taking at the moment. Sorry, at James Aldred, but I think Everton are for the taking. So that's who I want. And I think the draw is coming up in the next few days. January, we've talked about tough month for Forest. I think a few, Peterborough, Hull, Huddersfield, Barnsley are all for the taking. Swansea have completed more passes than Birmingham have. Swansea have completed in the six games they've recently played more passes than Birmingham City have. However, they're not dominating, it's fair to say, in the league. So these are all teams Forest could win. I'm not saying we'll win all of them, but it could be a great month for the Reds.
On campus.
And online.
Online.
This
is
URN.
And we're going to finish off today with predictions for Peterborough. I think this will be our last game together, Kieran, before I think the FA Cup. I don't think I'll be able to make any of the others. But I'm going to go for a 3-0 Forest win. And I'm going to say Taylor's going to get in the good books after us slating him, because that always seems to happen.
Wouldn't surprise me. I'm also going to go for a Forest win, obviously. I'll probably go for like a 2-0. I think another clean sheet is on the cards against Peterborough. They haven't been very good this season. Lyle Taylor to get a goal, maybe a goal from Lolly as well. The guy that you've got on the back of your shirt.
Love Lolly.
But I think a 2-0 would be a fair scoreline. I think this is going to be the last game I go to as well until January now, because I think I'll be home. Yeah, I'll be going home.
Swansea away is a tricky one, isn't it?
And I mean, Hull City at home is on the 18th, which I'll be heading home before then. So
Yeah. Well, we'll keep up to date with Forest. It's fair to say. So don't worry, there will be, I'm going to say, one more Forest podcast, or Forest Over the Trench, should I say, before Christmas. I think we might have a look back on 2021 as Forest fans. But next week, I can guarantee there will be a Notts County special, hopefully with some Magpie fans. Kieran, I'd like to say thank you for coming on. I know you're very busy with work at the moment.
Yeah, no worries.
Who should be our star listener? Who should we single out? What are they doing? I'm going to say anyone who's listening to this whilst on a walk, on a cold walk with a hat, you are our special listener this week. Thanks for listening. Please follow Over the Trent on Instagram and Twitter. And we've also got a brand new Instagram page, which I've been plugging at all weekend. Probably should have been working, but I've been plugging at that. That is URN_sport. I repeat, URN_sport. Don't follow the charlatans that are URN Sport, all one word. We are the real URN Sport. Kieran, go well and keep it URN.